It feels good to hear that song again. Hello and welcome to another edition of Inside the Burrow, the FAU podcast for and by Owls fans. It's your boy, Jack. We're back at it. Can't stop, won't stop for another season of Inside the Burrow action. Before we dive in to some fall camp talk, some housekeeping. I want to give a big shout out to Jake Ellman, who will be joining us full-time this year. You guys, you all know Jake, former FAU beat writer, FAU alum. He's been a friend of the podcast and of the Nest for a good time now. So Jake, it's not your first time on Inside the Burrow, but I couldn't be any happier to have you on full-time.
What an intro. Thank you, Jack. I'm grateful to be on the podcast in a different role. Obviously, I've been on a couple times when I still covered FAU. If you don't know or you've forgotten, I covered FAU for parts of about 4.5 seasons, football, basketball, baseball, the works. Right now, I'm getting back involved with the program in some different ways. Excited to cheer on the team this season as a fan, as an alum. So grateful to you, grateful to Rick, grateful to the Nest for welcoming me into a much different role than obviously I've interacted with you guys before.
Yeah, and Jake, you know, before we go into the rest of our content, you know, we were talking about how you've been a beat writer in the past. You've covered FAU with the media lens on, but you obviously have an emotional connection with the program and with the university. So it'd be really interesting to see how you can work both of those lenses and show that viewpoint to the fans on the podcast. So congratulations and welcome.
Well, you know, thank you again. I'm excited to navigate through those lenses. Obviously, last year, I wasn't covering the team. I was watching home games at home for the first time since 2015, which was a much different experience. And I got to observe some things differently than I probably would have if I was in the press box or if I was watching at home, but I was writing a game story, writing maybe starting a column for the next day. So this year will be interesting in putting side A, which was the former newspaper writer side, and side B, that fan side, that alum side, and mixing them together to come up with a side C that I think will really help out the community and help grow the program potentially.
And on the subject of change, we all know Shane. Congratulations on, you know, his recent gig, you could say, with 247. He will be with us on Inside the Burrow ever so often. So, hey, Shane's not leaving Inside the Burrow, all right? He'll be back, and we couldn't be happier for him, and we're going to be excited to hear his take, because I'm going to miss talking crap about Marshall. I'm not sure how you feel about him, Jake, but we'll know soon enough. But it was nice that Shane and I could be on that same page.
I've got no bad blood with Marshall. Now, the school down south, all due respect to my good friends David Hondel and Eric Henry, I think that first week of October, we're going to have some things we have to say about FIU and the Shula Bowl as a whole.
Oh, no doubt about it. That animosity has always been there. And I noticed this from Dan, and maybe some of the more OG fans, you could say, is that they still kind of had a strong disdain towards FIU. While us younger fans, it was Marshall, because we would try to emulate them in Conference USA. They definitely had this stick up their butt, you could say, when it came to the newer programs. And then once we took over, things kind of snowballed from there. That being said, Jake, you are an old soul, man. I know you're younger than me, but you're an old soul. You know that as well. So it's, again, another multiple lens situation for you there. So that all being said, brother, let's go ahead and dive in. Fall camp is how many days away now? I mean, it is on our doorstep, and we have made a lot of moves in the offseason, some of them bigger than others, some of them with some national headlines. I mean, let's just dive right into the one that we're all going to talk about. And we try to pry it out of Coach Tagger on Conference USA Media Day. Hey, how's quarterback position look, bud? And, you know, Coach Speak is going to Coach Speak. So let's talk about the recent additions there. How do you think the quarterback room stacks up going into 2021?
Well, I was at the spring game, so I got to see Michael Johnson Jr., the Penn State transfer, and he looked sharp. I thought he played the best of the four quarterbacks or five quarterbacks. So actually, I think it was four. But, you know, that day, as I'm walking out, I see on my phone that Kosi Perry was at the spring game, and that was a name that you had heard linked to FAU, the former Miami quarterback, for a few weeks at that point, and he eventually transferred in, and I think that's a monumental upgrade and addition. I think Nikosi Perry, obviously, he started a little bit with the Hurricanes. We last saw him in the bowl game. I believe it was against Oklahoma State, where he played well after Derek King got hurt. It's another year of a quarterback battle. The days of Chris Robinson comfortably sitting as a starting quarterback are long gone. I think Nikosi Perry can come in. I don't know if it's immediately going to be his show. I've said before, I think coaches and the team benefit by letting the quarterback battle play out for a couple weeks. But obviously, it's a much different staff. But 2 years ago, we saw Chris Robinson come back in August for fall camp, dominate the first couple weeks. And by the end of that first scrimmage, that second weekend of August, you knew he was most likely going to start against Ohio State. I wouldn't be surprised if it's a similar situation with Nikosi Perry this year, where he comes in, he's got the experience, he's got the talent. By the middle of August, we're saying, as a fan base, as the media, we're saying this is the guy who's going to be leading FAU out onto the field in Gainesville against UF.
And let's not forget about Tronti. Let's not forget about Posey either. You know, we've been talking so much about Perry and MJ that we kind of forgot about our other quarterbacks. And they've both shown us some serious glimpses of what they can do. So the quarterback room is going to have a lot of competition. That is the one thing Coach Taggart did say, is that they're going to look for constant competition in every single position, especially within the quarterback room. So we're definitely going to be seeing that this year, no doubt about it. Year just as exciting. It is an odd number year, and as we've seen the last few go arounds, that means FAU will win a Conference USA championship. But we're going to need some more players to kind of step up than what we saw last year. So Jake, I mean, to really dive into the fall camp now, we talked about quarterbacks a little bit. What about that running back room? I mean, constantly banged up. McCammon comes to mind. Obviously BJ Emmons has moved on. We wish him the best of luck. How much can Malcolm Davidson do? How much can a healthy McCammon do? You know, all these different names. I'm a bit worried about the running back room, even though it has the potential of being the most deep. And that's something that Coach Taggart alluded to last year. He said, thank goodness it is our deepest room, because they were absolutely decimated with injuries.
Jack, I mean, I'm worried too. Obviously, I'm the devout leader of the Feed Malcolm Davidson fan club, but as great as Malcolm Davidson has been, he's struggled to stay healthy. Larry McCammon, same thing. Larry McCammon rushed really well to start last year. It looked like he'd be that lead back, him and James Charles, your 1A and 1B, and then McCammon gets hurt in week two, although technically week eight or whatever, against Marshall, and he's out for the year. So the good news is they brought in Johnny Ford, the explosive USF transfer. He played really well in the spring game. And they brought in Zuberi Mobley, the young running back from Miami Northwestern. He's somebody who I would not be surprised if he could work his way up the depth chart. I honestly think he could finish top two in rushing yards. I think this is a unit that, like I said, plenty of talent, but too many guys can't stay healthy. And these guys who are coming in who have durability on their side, you know, if they can stay healthy – and they're the guys who are around on the bench when, you know, if Malcolm goes down or Larry has a lingering injury again. If you're Taggart and your offensive coordinator, Michael Johnson, you're saying, let's get Mobley in the game. Let's give Johnny Ford a few more carries. FAU hasn't really had a 20 carries a game back since Larry McCammon took over that role really early in his freshman year. Could Johnny Ford be that guy? Absolutely.
Yeah, a lot of question marks there, no doubt about it. I'm really curious. Is the injury issues because of the line struggling to get their chemistry going? Is it a strength and conditioning issue? Is it just bad luck? Mixture of all three? Jake Jinx, even TM trademark? Who knows?
That's always an option. Always an option.
So, you know, enough about the offense. Let's now talk about the other side of the ball quickly, because I don't know who's had more. Have I had more years in school at FAU, or has FAU had more defensive coordinators every single year for the past, what, five, six seasons now? Beats me. I've lost count. I don't know.
The last repeat defensive coordinator was my good friend Rock Bellantoni. Since he left, it's been Chris Kiffin for a year, Tony Beck for a year, Glenn Spencer for a year, Jim Levitt last year. This year, it's Mike Stoops. So five defensive coordinators in 5 years, six in 6 years. So how many years have you been at FAU?
Yes.
Okay. Absolutely. So there's our answer.
your boy is done now. So mazel tov to me.
Congratulations.
Thank you.
Great job.
Thank you. Long time coming. I'm very thankful for that. But who knows in Stoops, maybe this will be a long time coming that we can retain a defensive coordinator for more than a year. Ross having another big name as a defensive coordinator. I consider Levitt to be a big name, and it's great to have Stoops on board. Kiki, he's back. The heart and soul of the FAU football program since he's been playing. I mean, you can sense the energy when he's on the field. You can sense the energy that he brings when it's a press conference, post-game, pre-game, whatever. When he's tying his shoe, he's going to do it 110%. And he's a fan favorite for good reason. So I think that's absolutely great that he's coming back. On your last count, Jake, did you see how many guys out of the starting 11 or 12 in a rotational will be back?
It's a lot of starters, obviously Layden McCarthy.
Yeah.
Signed with the Buccaneers, and then he had his heart issue, which is being resolved. So Layden, keeping you in our thoughts and prayers.
Yep.
But they're returning most of their starters, which obviously going into last year was not the same storyline. This year you bring back Jalen Joyner and Evan Anderson on the defensive line. Both of them really stood out last year. Evan Anderson is going to be a mainstay and a star here. You know, linebackers, Amon Ross is still here. Much like Kiki, somebody who started out, his impact mainly came on special teams. He came here as a safety. And the last two seasons, Amon has really filled in nicely as an outside linebacker, that kind of star role.
Mm-hmm.
Chase Lassiter, with Kiki gone last year, Chase became the starting Mike. He played really well. I thought he was somebody who probably could have earned all conference honors. He was a tackling machine, had some really pivotal stops in some of the close games. And in the secondary, you get Romaine Mungan back for another year. Hopefully he can hold on to some of the interceptions. Jordan Helm is somebody who I think has an incredible story of coming here as a walk-on, hanging tough, working his way up the depth chart. And, you know, he's been a starter now. I think this is going to be his third year as a starter. It's his second and third, because he started a bit in 2019, him and Devon Brown. But so plenty of veterans, plenty of talent. There's some younger guys, Courtney McBride, who I think is the defensive lineman, who I think could work their way into the rotation. But the good news of all the problems FAU had last year, even if they finished with a winning record, was you had so many defensive guys who were younger. Guys like Evan Anderson, the true freshman. Guys like Chris Jones, the pass rusher, who was a true freshman. Or guys like Lassiter and Joyner, who hadn't played a ton because of injuries. But last year, between the guys who had left after 2019, the new scheme, COVID, guys got chances, and they made the most of it.
And, you know, but you're listing so many names, Jake. I want to pose a question to you, and then once you're done, I want to – say my answers, because I think this will be a lot of fun to predict some breakout players, because we know we're going to have some. We know that we have the ability to have an explosive offense, another strong, stingy defense. So what I want you to do is I want you to think of a player, two players in offense. One is going to be the player you're most excited for, and one is going to be the player that you think is flying under the radar that it's going to break out. And then do the same thing on the defensive side of the ball. Now, for the breakout, it doesn't have to be a total, someone that's currently number four on the depth chart, but someone that is not as widely talked about. So go ahead. I'll pitch that one up to you.
No, that's a good little test. On offense, in terms of breakout, I'll start there. I really like Zaberi Mobley, the young running back. I think it's a lot of pressure to put on a true freshman running back in a talented and veteran room to say he's going to get a lot of carries. Well, like I said, some of these guys have struggled with injuries and staying healthy. Mobley, well, he's a true freshman, so we can't really use injury history against him, but he enrolled early. We have to believe that he knows the playbook at this point. That helps him. And we've seen, not even just under Lane Kiffin's staff, but under Charlie Partridge's staff too, and even Pelini's. Those young running backs, if they know the playbook and they show that they can hold their own. We saw it with Motor Singletary. Saw it with Buddy Howell. Saw it with Jay Warren and Larry McCammon. They will see the field. If Zaberi Mobley shows up to fall camp and is clearly one of the two or three best running backs, he's making plays, he's hitting his blocks, he's catching the ball and turning them into long gains. I think we may not see him that much against UF just because of the environment. I think we could absolutely see him earning double-digit carries per game in Conference USA play.
Wow.
That's how high I am on this young man.
That's a reach and a half, but I like it.
And in terms of guy I'm most excited for, I was surprised that FAU listed Brandon Robinson as one of their players to watch because I think he's somebody that it was easy to forget about. He played so well in the Boca Bowl against SMU, and expectations, at least my expectations for him going into last year, were really high. And then pandemic happens and Chris Robinson's not there and you have all the quarterback issues. And he had three touchdowns, three or four scores, but he didn't really take over games the way I had hoped that he would, the way that we saw Pico Harrison do at times, like we saw Javon Durant do at times. Can he do that this year if the Kosi Perry or Michael Johnson Jr. or even Nick Trani provides that stability? Absolutely. And I'm going to cheat a little bit. I'm going to give you 2.5. We know that Willie Taggart Jr. and Javion Posey are very athletic. We know that Javion Posey played receiver as a true freshman, although technically he redshirted, but whatever. It's true freshman year. We know that Willie Taggart Jr. got some receiver snaps late last year because the receivers had some depth issues. Are those guys quarterbacks? And if not, when does the coaching staff start saying, all right, you know, these guys have receiver experience, let's give them snaps there? Because now you have Nikosi Perry, now you have Michael Johnson. So do you want to carry 5 active quarterbacks? If Javion Posey, who did catch a touchdown in 2019 and showed some athleticism in practice, if he is a guy who we know what he can do with his legs, if this coaching staff believes his best bet is moving him to receiver, even if it's for a year, I'd like to see them do it. De'Ara King did it at Houston, and he played pretty well before he went back to being one of the country's best quarterbacks, before he became one of the country's best quarterbacks. So Javion Posey, De'Ara King 2.0, I'm all for it.
Ooh, what a shout that is. And a little quiz, if anyone can answer this question on our Twitter account at Inside the Burrow. What was the one touchdown that Posey did haul in his red shirt freshman year?
Right.
If anyone can give us an answer on that one, I don't know, I'll give you a shout out or something. Props to you. Before we jump to the defensive side of the ball, I just want to say, first, you didn't mention Nikosi Perry, so, I mean, whack. Sorry, love you, brother. But, I mean, that's who I'm most excited for, no doubt about it. And I think that kind of that's an idea, that's a notion that's felt throughout the fan base right now. He is going to be an electrifying player. He's already electrified the fan base, and that's wonderful. A player that I'm hoping for a breakout, I've been talking about him for years now, McCammon. If he can stay injury free, I think he can be the number one. And I think he can be that 20-25 carry back that you've been talking about. So that being said, what about the other side of the ball? Give me a couple players to keep an eye on.
Well, most excited, I have to say Kiki, but with an asterisk. I'm excited that Kiki's back. I'm very happy for him. I don't know where he fits into this defense right now, because if you say, hypothetically speaking, well, he's your starting middle linebacker, don't forget about Chase Lassiter, who played very well last year. So is Kiki, you know, do you work two middle linebackers in there? Is sort of a 3-4? Do you say we're going to give Kiki reps at outside linebacker? Are there different things that you could do with Kiki as a situational player, maybe a two-down player? Or is he somebody whose impact is mostly going to come on special teams, which he did his true freshman year in 2017? So I'm excited to see him. I'm not as excited right now as I might be in a month because we don't know what his role is going to be. We do know, barring anything crazy, that Jordan Helm is going to be a major leader on this defense. In terms of breakout, I really liked Chris Jones last year. I think with Lathan McCarthy gone, it's a different defense. But if you can get Chris Jones in to that edge role that Lathan was playing, and he's seeing the bulk of those snaps, and you do have some younger pass rushers, so maybe you work those guys in. But if Chris Jones is your Lathan McCarthy, and he could create sacks instead of just finishing them, which he did last year and he was very good at it, but I'd like to see some more pressure from him, some more opportunities to get to the quarterback, force a fumble. He could provide the pass rush impact that Kiki did 2 years ago when Kiki was almost had a sack per – he was on almost a sack per game and a tackle for loss per game for most of the year.
No, absolutely. I'm really happy that you mentioned Helm and Chris, because those are two players that that I was thinking about myself. I'm going to say Chase Lassiter. He's going to be the one I'm most excited for. Obviously, I think Kiki is the obvious choice, but because we're unsure about where he's going to fit in the system, I'm actually going to give it to Chase. I'm really excited to see how his development over the years is going to come to its climax. And I think that's really going to come to fruition this season. And a breakout one, we talked about Smoke. We talked about Smoke Mungin a little bit earlier. We want to talk about progression. That's someone who's kind of been thrown into the fire, especially last year. I think with his development, hopefully he can have a great year, become a shutdown corner that FAU is kind of used to having at least once a year. I'm not saying we're a DBU, but we've always been able to have some pretty decent lockdown guys. Who knows what can happen, but I'm definitely excited to see that, no doubt about it.
Well, what's interesting is two of the guys that you mentioned weren't necessarily recruited to FAU at their current positions. Mungin played a lot of receiver in high school, and when he signed, he was listed as a receiver. So I went into his freshman year thinking, good, he's another receiver and they need young receivers. And he turned into somebody who could be an all-conference corner. And Lassiter was a tight end. Originally, he had committed, I believe, to Michigan State as that H-back kind of player. He came here, he was a tight end. When you're playing behind Harrison Bryan and John Rain and you're athletic, the opportunity to play elsewhere is naturally going to come up. And he missed 2019, and I had ridden him off a little bit. But then he comes out of nowhere last year and is one of their most impactful defenders. So that's a testament to both coaching staffs, I think, to the Kiffin staff and the Taggart staff, of taking these players who, you know, with Mungin, I'm not exactly sure if they always intended for him to play corner. But taking guys and turning them into reliable starters at different positions that then others may have expected them to play.
Okay, so if you're athletic, you're going to find your way onto the field, you know, and we see that exact same situation pending out with Posey a couple of years ago. Any last fall camp notes before we sign off, my friend?
Yeah, I would just say to the fans, patience. It's all patience. I've seen plenty of times where I've gone into spring camp or fall camp and I've had extremely high expectations for somebody that didn't play well. And then the season starts and they're a completely different player. But I've also seen the opposite. I've seen guys who came in with high expectations. BJ Emmons, I can say, was one of them where everybody was hyping him up, perhaps deservedly, as the immediate heir to Devin Singletary. Then they open up the 2019 season. BJ Emmons was really third on my depth chart behind James Charles and McCammon. So patience, the depth chart that was the depth chart at the end of last season may not be what it looks like against UF. And the depth chart that you may have in your head of this guy is going to play this position. This guy is going to, you know, BJ Etienne is going to line up at this tackle spot. Oh, well, now all of a sudden he's at right guard or he's even playing center. We don't know. And I'm not going to guess, so just patience, trust the process. Nobody knows anything except the coaching staff.
There you go. Absolutely. We're talking about hype, man. No one's going to match the hype of Melvin Germain III. All right. That will remain one of the hottest threads in FU Owls Nest history. What a time to be an FAU fan. Not really. It was awful back then. But alas, we have survived. Am I right?
Indeed we have. Indeed we have.
Somehow, some way. So, there you go, guys. I mean, it's good to be back. I just want to go off what Jake was just saying with patience. Let's kind of enjoy the chill time, the time where we can make believe that, yeah, we're going to run the table. We're going to go to Gainesville and we're going to win. And then we're going to go to college football playoff and it's going to be great. Let's enjoy this while we have it. All right. I'm not going to say it's going to be it's an awful year. I'm not going to say it's going to be a good year, but it's going to be a challenge. We know that. So let's enjoy it while we have it. And let's just be happy that we have football back, that we have tailgating back. We still haven't had official word yet, but I mean, let's be real. It's going to come back. Fans, everything that makes this sport so great. So let's be thankful for that. And on that note, I think we're good. First one in the books, huh, Jake?
First one's in the books. Hopefully I didn't ramble as much as I was expecting I would ramble once again. I'm so excited about this, man. Last year was so weird for so many reasons, and this year is going to still be weird, most likely. But I'm excited to be a part of this. I'm grateful to you. I'm grateful to Rick. And, you know, I can finally say this on a podcast. Go Owls.
There you go. As a fan now, man, you love to see
as a,
it.
As a fan, as a happy, content, still complaining once in a while fan and alum.
That's what we all loved and it's what we come for. So, Jake, happy to have you, man. Congratulations. And, I mean, you guys know where to find us. Inside the Burrow on Twitter. We're going to be on YouTube. We're recording this Tuesday night. It's going to be up tomorrow morning. So, remember to follow FU Owls Nest website, social medias. So, oh man, I'm juiced. I know we said patience, but now I'm freaking ready, man. How many more days until Gainesville now? About 30, I want to say.
They were recording this 39.
39.
30 tomorrow.
That's right. Just got my flight, Asheville to Gainesville. Here we go. Even though it's 5 weeks away, it's UF week. Let's get it going. We've been waiting this one for a long time. So can't wait to talk about that. So on behalf of Jake and myself, thank you so much for following and listening, guys. Happy to do it. And go Owls.